Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Offensive only to lazy men, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The housebroken Medicare podcast. And now, highly offended by jokes about crackers, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We're sitting here in the beautiful Arizona sunshine. Actually, we're not sitting here. I'm watching the beautiful Arizona sunshine from inside my office because it is cold out there. It's kind of like in Illinois. After a snowstorm, you get the bright sunny sky and the 20 degree below temperatures. Well, in Arizona, it's not quite that brutal, but it is chilly. So the sky is clear, the clouds are gone, but the temperature is not responding the way I would hope it would. Anyway, I'm so happy to have you joining us today. You might have heard my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, explain who I am. Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, but you may not know why I'm talking to you. And the reason I'm talking to you is that I believe that if you are approaching the transition into Medicare, that you might want and appreciate some additional assistance or at least some encouragement from a professional. I would call myself a coach, but I don't have an athletic bone in my body. So I'm going to call myself a pro, and I'm here to make you feel confident that you're going to be able to approach Medicare, you're going to be able to conquer Medicare, and you're going to be able to walk away the victor, having made the right decisions, having avoided the wrong decisions, and moved forward into the future with confidence and with success. So the way I encourage people to do that is to suggest that they read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, which you can buy at either BarnesandNoble.com, or if you go to Amazon.com, you'll find a fairly wide variety of editions, from the very inexpensive Kindle edition, which is under $4, to the paperback, which is about $8, to the gift quality hardcover book, which is a magnificent creation. Hardcover, colorful illustrations, same excellent knowledge of Medicare, and that's suitable for giving to a loved one or a relative, a friend, and that would be $22. You can also get the Audible book at the same site, Amazon.com. All you do is put the search term into the window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Don't forget to put those numbers in there. So I am here today to share some Medicare knowledge with you, but first I want to introduce my friend and podcast engineer and all-around good guy, Randy Carson. Randy Carson, how the heck are you today?
I am doing exceptionally well, and you probably know why. I looked out my office window, and what is up in the sky?
There's a big round yellow thing. Is that what you're talking about?
There's a big round yellow thing. Yeah, yeah. Doug knows that when there's no big round yellow thing in the sky, I wonder why I'm sitting here in Arizona.
Well, it is certainly a scary thing when it rains day after day after day. I think I might have mentioned my next door neighbors who do not live here. They come here very infrequently. They showed up just in time for a string of brutal winter weather here in southern Arizona, where it almost is always warm and sunny. And they just happened to hit on a really weird year. And the one thing that's probably beneficial about all this is that our reservoirs are filling up, and the drought that everybody's been screaming about is probably mitigated to some extent. And ultimately, it helps Mother Nature, and it helps the human habitat if we have plenty of water in future years. So I remember telling Randy a story years ago. I don't know, couldn't have been that many years ago. We haven't done the podcast for that many years. But I wanted to revisit that story when I ran across an article that is just a short little blurb here. It was a paragraph in a larger article about things, but the headline on this was "Death from Brain-Eating Amoeba Leads to Florida Water Warning." And this was from Fox News. It says, "Florida residents warned about tap water after a man dies from a brain-eating amoeba." And the story goes on to say, "Nearly a quarter of a million Floridians are being warned to avoid washing their face with tap water after a man died from a brain-eating amoeba in February. The advice, which applies to the nearly 200,000 residents of Charlotte County, comes after a county resident died on February 20th. And then from the AP, it says a person in Southwest Florida has died after being infected with an extremely rare brain-eating amoeba, health officials said. Florida Department of Health in Charlotte County has confirmed the death. The agency had previously issued an alert last month warning about this. I can't even pronounce the two words that describe this infection, but it is kind of a scary thing. It's exceedingly rare. And the story I was going to tell was a reminder that back in about December 5th, I'm going to say maybe December 4th of 2004, I was driving down Camelback Road between Phoenix and Scottsdale. And Camelback at that point, I believe, is about four lane divided. It's got a nice median in the center with cactuses and stuff. And all of a sudden, a police car pulled up and stopped all the traffic going in my direction and waved us to take a side street. And I had to kind of weave through a neighborhood and try to get back on the main street without knowing what was going on. And the traffic was blocked at that point, and I had to keep going on side streets through neighborhoods, residential neighborhoods, until a long time afterwards I was able to get back into a traffic jam that eventually led back onto a major artery. And it was only later on that I found out what transpired. I was driving not too far behind a car that was cruising along, and that's a nice straight stretch of road through the desert, what used to be very, very rural desert, and now it's kind of built up. And but still, the speed limit is not 30, it's more like 50. And this driver put his cruise control on and then rolled down his driver's side window, got out, crawled out of the window, hanging on to the roof of his car, and managed to get around to the hood of the car. So remember, cruise control is on, and the driver has crawled out of the window and onto the hood of his car. And according to witnesses, he was dancing around on the hood of his car. And the car eventually kind of wandered off to the right and left the road and hit something like a pole or a tree or something, flinging the driver very far off. And by the time the driver hit the ground, he was dead. And so the whole weird story was even more confusing for people, because the person that had this experience was the Phoenix City treasurer. And he was a guy who was well known to government officials in Phoenix. I think he had been the treasurer for the city of Phoenix for a long, long time. And everybody liked the guy very much. And it turned out that what happened after they determined after an autopsy was that he had one of these brain-eating amoebas. And He and his family had returned from a vacation in Mexico where they swam in some kind of river or something. Now, why you would go to Mexico and go swimming in a lake or a river is beyond me. But I recall that Randy told me that, yeah, the brain-eating amoebas are basically stirred up from the bottom. So if you're walking around in a lake and you're stirring up the water, those amoebas can actually come to the surface where your face might be in the water, and they go into your bloodstream and find their way to your brain. So this guy was obviously, his behavior became very erratic all of a sudden. So they asked the wife if he had been doing strange things before that. And she said, well, I didn't really think about it, but in fact, he has shown some strange behavior patterns over the last few days, but nothing to the extent of trying to get out of your car while the cruise control was on, dancing around on the hood, and eventually dying after the car slams into a solid object. So that was the tragic end to his life, but it always kind of made me aware of the fact that those brain-eating amoebas can sneak into your brain and do some damage. So I just wanted to share that again. Randy may or may not remember that I shared that story with him a while back. I was almost a part of that. I was very close behind this guy, probably less than a mile on Camelback Road in approaching Scottsdale, Arizona. So I have a hot off the presses correspondence from my newest clients, and this would be Larry and Kathy. They wrote me a little message today in response to my welcoming them as clients. They wrote me a while back and they said, hey, we'd listen to your podcast and we would like to avail ourselves of your services. And I said, that's fantastic. Here's a little questionnaire for each of you to fill out. And once you've done that, I can help you out. And so as part of their correspondence, they have asked what happens, and they have a fundamental misunderstanding, and I wasn't good enough to clear up the misunderstanding when they originally asked it. And so I'm going to try to do it again because it's an important point for people that have a Medicare supplement. They, Larry and Kathy, live in New York. They're planning to, he's retiring, I guess, and they're planning to rehab their house and prepare it for sale. Now, who knows how long that process is going to take? A few months, I would guess. I've been working on one in Wayne, Illinois for 2 years, and I'm about ready to give up and set it on fire. But the whole thing is that they want to move south, and they want to do that after they sell their house. So they're concerned about having to reapply for Medicare supplements in their new location several states away. And I don't think I impressed upon them as much as I should have the fact that if they have a problem that causes them to have to show evidence of good health, and if the medical underwriters in the new state for the company that they would like to choose as their new Medicare supplement carrier, they will not have a problem. They will not have to give up their existing New York Medicare supplements, because Medicare supplements work equally well anywhere in the United States and any possession of the United States. So if they buy their Medicare supplements from me while they live in New York and they later want to move to a southern state, all I said was that the rates may be lower in the southern state, so they may want to apply for a different policy. They may have to show evidence of insurability because it's been a while since their Part B effective date gave them a special enrollment period. But if they don't cut the mustard, if the underwriters say, no, they've got a condition that we don't think is insurable, so we're not going to give them the new coverage, they can still keep their existing, slightly more expensive Medicare supplements that they acquired in New York, and they will still have the excellent Medicare supplement protection. A Medicare supplement, once you have it, can never be taken away from you by virtue of your moving from one place to another or any other reason other than failure to pay the premium when they're due. So if you ignore the premium payment that's due for a couple of months, then you're going to be in jeopardy. Otherwise, your Medicare supplement will be yours to keep as long as you want it. And I think these people will have no problem at all. And if they cut the mustard, if they satisfy the underwriters in their new location, then they'll probably have the same coverage at a somewhat cheaper monthly premium, which is always a nice goal. I'm still plowing through the giant pile of stuff that I collected during the weeks that Randy and I were not recording podcast episodes. And here's a little blurb that I ran across: COVID mask rules for health workers to end in California, Washington, and Oregon. I don't know exactly what date this came out, but I think they are already ended. I may be late on this particular item, but it says California health officials said they plan to relax guidance for masking in high-risk settings and health worker vaccine rules, the LA Times reported. Separately, Washington and Oregon will lift health worker mask rules, according to the AP. Other news reminds us that COVID is still infecting and killing people. Of course, they have to throw that in there because they want everybody to be frightened. But here's the deal, folks. We know that masks don't work. The masks that they forced everybody to wear, or they tried to force everybody to wear, are an outward sign of obedience. And that's what these political little Hitlers tried to accomplish, was to make sure that we were obedient little doobies. And so somebody with a mask on is an indicator that the person is willing to follow instructions and willing to toe the party line. A person named Chris wrote me, and he said, "Thank you for writing your book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. I learned a lot from it, and you made me laugh quite a few times." Well, it was an informative, fun, and painless read. What a great review here. He said, "We live in Minnesota and had no idea that our state had its own supplement plan." He said, "You are right, of course, about nobody informing me about Medicare supplement plans." He said, "I have attended 3 information sessions and only one insurer," and that was Blue Cross Blue Shield, "even mentioned the possibility of supplement plans. I think he may have spent 45 seconds on the topic. The rest of the sessions were devoted to Medicare Advantage plans." Now this is, yeah, oh, Randy's, he's got those thumbs down, and he's very, very vociferously giving a major negatory to the Medicare Advantage plans. The problem here is that these people, Chris and his spouse, were lied to by omission. They were not told. They went to 3 different meetings and were not even told that Medicare supplement plans exist, except for a 45-second reference in one of those 3 meetings. And it reminds me of what we ran across a couple of months ago when I found out that some of the more popular Medicare drug plans had stopped paying commissions in 2023. All of a sudden, I started hearing from people who said, "That's not the drug plan I was told would be available to me. Somebody told me that they weren't licensed to sell that plan. And so they've got a more expensive plan they want me to buy." And my answer in both of these cases was, well, those people are lying to you, because the one plan that doesn't pay commissions is the one that they conveniently told you that they were not legally able to sell you. But that's not true. They lied to you about that. There are brokers out there lying to clients in order to avoid having to do any sort of free work. And if the cheapest plan is the one that doesn't pay commissions, that's the one that the client should be able to buy. And anybody who says that they're not able to sell them that plan is not telling the truth. So anyway, this person said, "You have me almost sold on purchasing high deductible plan G, but I'm having trouble determining if I can buy an occasional supplemental policy for dental or hearing during the years I anticipate needing that additional coverage." And the answer is yes. You can buy freestanding dental, vision, and hearing coverage, and you can keep that for as long as you like it, or you can change it pretty much any time you want to, because dental, vision, and hearing insurance is not hard to come by, and there are lots of companies, lots of competition to keep the price as low as possible. However, it won't be as inexpensive as it was when your employer paid most of the cost. The out-of-pocket cost for the premium for the plan is likely to be unpleasant, but not unaffordable. And then he went on to say, I imagine my wife will require a dental policy every year that she has a supplemental plan. Otherwise, I assume we would pay those routine and non-routine expenses out of pocket. That's certainly your choice. And then he says, I apologize for the long message. Don't feel obligated to reply if this is burdensome for you. Again, very nice job with the book. Thanks for taking the time to write it. And so I responded to Chris. I said, thank you very much for all the kind words about my book. When I hear that it was helpful and entertaining for you, I am gratified beyond words. Thanks again for sharing your thoughts. I would very much like to act as your agent for the purpose of guiding you and your wife into Medicare and helping you purchase the additional insurance you will need to have complete protection under Medicare. My process would be to show you the cost advantage of high deductible Plan G as compared to the cost of Plan G, the most comprehensive protection. You will then have seen the most comprehensive and expensive compared with the most cost-effective and streamlined. Whatever your eventual choice about Medicare supplement will be the most effective coverage for dental expenses will be a freestanding plan that you purchase independent from actual Medicare. A plan of this type is yours to keep or exchange for another company's plan without restriction and may often include vision and hearing insurance as well. In order to provide you with an accurate cost projection, I need to know some demographic information about you. Attached is a questionnaire. All I need is page one for the time being. Also, prescription drug plans have become an important part of Medicare strategy, even for those who take no regular prescription medications. So I have attached a form that explains the process, explains the importance of Medicare drug plans, and includes a questionnaire that you can return to me that will give me your prescription medications and your preferred pharmacies. And then I can identify for you the cheapest plans available in your area that will cover your drugs. So he said, thanks for getting back to me. I'll look at the forms and send them in if we decide to move forward. I turned 65 in November, and my wife is still a couple of years away. Well, this tells me that he's got plenty of time. He doesn't really need to respond to me until maybe September, maybe August. August would be a pretty good time for them to start if they want to make the move in November. And then I said, at the very least, we owe a big thank you for introducing us to the concept of Medicare supplement plans. The information sessions I attended paid little, if any, attention to them. Thanks again. Well, one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that those information sessions do not even mention Medicare supplement plans is the fact that the Medicare Advantage plans they concentrate on pay huge commissions to the agent. The agent loves Medicare Advantage plan sales because the commissions are very, very generous, thanks to the U.S. government. They come right out of your pocket and go right to the agent's pocket, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. A Medicare supplement plan is just a few dollars each time you pay the premium. Now, that goes on for as long as you live, but it's not taking a big bite out of the protection that you have. So with that, I want to say, the time goes so quickly, and we're pretty much, Randy's going to tell us that we probably are running out of steam when it comes to the steam in the, what is that thing you put quarters in?
Oh, well, it's actually kind of like one of those things you remember when you're in Chicago, you're like on top of the building and you put a quarter in so you can look out over the landscape. And then after your quarter's time is over with, it shuts your eye, shuts it so you can't see anything.
They're like binoculars.
That's kind of like this is. We start out every podcast, just so you know, Doug, with 75 cents worth of time.
Oh, boy, I got to go back and look at my itemized bills to make sure that we're not paying any more than that.
And then when the 75 cents runs out, your eyeballs don't get shut because it's a podcast, but the sound shuts off. Ugh. But before the 75 cents is out today, there's a couple things I wanted to touch on. I very much appreciate you writing in to Doug, Chris, because you are talking to the expert. And there's a couple of, I'm responsible in this podcast for coming up with labels, I guess, for lack of a better term, that will help you remember what Doug's position is on various things. And they're all related to Medicare Advantage plans. Okay, so one of them is Medicare Scam Vantage. Okay, remember that one?
Yeah.
And then the other one, even the government calls it Part C. And you know what Part C stands for, Chris?
Randy's going to tell you.
Crap. That's what it stands for. Okay. So anyway, I really appreciate you writing in to Doug, Chris, because you are talking to the expert. But as I said, we're running out of time. So I need to kind of close up shop here. But thank you all for listening. We certainly appreciate it. Doug is a licensed agent nationwide. Sometimes we don't concentrate on that or emphasize that as much as we should, but you can always get a hold of him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com, or you can check out our website. Keep looking, because we're making some really, really what I think great changes to medicareforthelazyman.com. Doug already talked about how to get the various forms of his book, but one thing he didn't talk about, because it embarrasses him to ask, we would very much like you to hunt down a way to give us a rating on our podcast and or Doug's book. 5 stars would be awesome, because we're always in the rating wars with other podcasts and other authors. So that would be great. But for today, thank you so much. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I'm going to chalk it in at about 12.5.
I can live with that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.